about sacrifice, just brief, and I'll just give some points, and then we'll go. I'll be brief. Pastor Eglis' funeral is Tuesday morning at Wheaton Church. Wheaton Christian Center. Yes, that information was emailed out to you. If you want to come, if you have the time to come and bless and support the family, Sister Tanya, we've been in touch with them and working very closely to help them with everything. Also, there were some financial needs, so if you can be of support, on that email you saw the GoFundMe logo. You can actually click that and go directly to the site where you can give a gift if you're so inclined to do so. That too might be a sacrifice this time of year. But sacrifice is good, amen? excuse me, the Lord is big on motive. God looks at motive of the heart before he even looks at the action. And that's action, whether it was good action or bad action. And that's why for us it's complicated when we see God do the things that he does. When the Lord says in Scripture that David is a man after God's own heart, that's conflicting. It's hard to wrap your head around that, because here's a man who was a liar, a murderer, a schemer. I mean, this guy had all kinds of issues that were clearly recorded in Scripture, and at the same time, the Lord turns around and says, now this is a man after my heart. And as a human being, we don't know how to judge properly. In fact, even when David was selected as king, he had to tell, he said that while men look at the outward appearance, that God looks at the heart. So God is always measuring motive. He's always measuring motive. And I try to live by that. Meaning there are times when I have to deal with people as a pastor and they do things. And if I'm quick to judge, if I'm quick to react or respond to what I see people do, I can call it wrong. Because people have all kinds of things that motivate them to do what they do. Sometimes people will serve, for example, on the positive end, you have people that will serve and serve hard and work diligently and give their all. But at the base of it, the purpose for their doing it can vary. Some people are doing it because they really love Jesus. Some people do it because they love the organization called Harvest Church Plainfield. Some people will do it because they have an affinity toward their pastor. They just love their pastor. Some people will do it because they like the recognition. They like what it does in terms of the celebration they receive as a consequence of doing that. Some people do it because they were raised in an environment where they were taught to work like that. Work ethic just produced that in them. But what God is always looking for is the motivation that comes from deep within. It's the heart that responds to him. It's the heart that says, no matter my behavior, Lord, I really want to do the right thing. And so they continue to press to do it. They continue to press in to do what is right. Are you following me today? And so motive is so very important. I've been thinking about sacrifice as it relates to our coming together in the morning to pray. How many of you guys prayed with me last year? We got up and we were here at 6 a.m. and it was a sacrifice. Hello, somebody. Now, I'm not a morning person. Typically, if I see 5:30 in the morning, it's because I've been up all night. It's not because I got up early in the morning to meet that 5:30. I don't do that. You know, my body I'm a night owl. I'm nocturnal. Come on now. You understand what I'm saying? Nocturnal. You know, I have to stop myself in the evenings and just shut it down. But I'm not a morning person, so it requires a sacrifice. The book on prayer that we have in the Harvest Shop, Jill Briscoe, she was speaking on the fact that, sacrificing prayer is better than sacrificing for prayer is better than sacrificing for sleep. Or sacrificing sleep, I'm not saying it exactly the way she put it, but basically was saying this, it makes more sense to just get to sacrifice your sleep for the purpose of being in the presence of God. But there's sacrifice needed to build anything of substance for God or to build anything of substance in terms of your relationship with God, you will find that there will be the necessity of sacrifice along the way. And I'd like to be able to just do this without sacrifice. It might be much easier if we could just do life without what sacrifice costs. But the reality is that sacrifice is necessary. Now, as your pastor, I'll tell you that, for example, the morning meditations, I will present it, and I will introduce it, and I will present or package it and structure it in a way that it's easy for you to follow it. But I'm not the pastor that will try to manipulate or push or pressure you to do what is right. You know, harvest is structured in a way that if you really want to grow in the things of God, everything you need to grow in the things of God, it's present here for you. Everything. You want the word, you can get the word here. You want to be discipled, you can get discipled here. You want to learn how to pray, you can learn how to pray here. You want to learn how to serve, you can learn how to serve here. But I guarantee you that none of it will just come to you until you put yourself into it. The motivation has to come from within you. Now, I've seen people get motivated because somebody put some pressure on them, and they became motivated. Some of you came from some Pentecostal circles where money was raised with a 20-minute sermon, sometimes the threat of what God won't do for you if you don't give it. Or there was a carrot dangled that suggested that if you did give, then God's going to give and he's going to multiply it. But how about if we just know that there is a need, we step to the plate, we all participate as a community, the needs are met, and then we believe what the word says, that God will provide seed for the sower, and he'll supply your need according to his riches and glory, and life will be good. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be all easy for me. I may still have some difficult times, and I may have to sacrifice. But it's clean. And the motive is pure. You just want to participate because you've been blessed with the privilege of participating. I don't know about you, but every time I think of the fact that God allows me to touch anything that belongs to him, I consider it a privilege. If he allows me to participate in the body of Christ, it is a privilege. It's a privilege. So throughout the Bible, it talks about sacrifice throughout the scripture. I looked up the definition of sacrifice, and there's about 7 different meanings for sacrifice. And I'm not going to try to do a whole deal on sacrifice today. I just want to hit just a particular area of it. And this is just to say that if we can go into the new year with this understanding, with this knowledge. And by the way, for those of you who think I'm winding up to get money out of your pocket, that is not what this is about. I'm talking about a principle, a kingdom principle that works. It's not just about money. It's about every dimension of life. Mothers understand sacrifice. Mothers understand sacrifice at a level that most men have to come to at some point in time. Now, men will sacrifice too, because a brother will get a job and an extra job to make sure that his babies will eat. Sacrifice. Throughout scripture, you got Abraham, who is told to go sacrifice, takes his son. This is in Genesis 23, I think, and I'm not going to, 22. Takes his son, binds him up, starts, gets the wood, gets the fire, is going to sacrifice his own son just because God says so. Most of us need some sort of incentive to sacrifice. Hear what I'm saying. Most need an incentive to sacrifice, but at the very core, at the foundation of our Christian life, there is sacrifice. At the core and the foundation of our Christian faith, there is sacrifice. Without sacrifice, we don't have what we have. God so loved the world that he did what? He sacrificed his son. Sacrifice. And so I want to just give a few points, if I can read this little thing, about the nature and characteristics of sacrifice. Number one, a sacrifice is uncommon. You can write them down. The things about a sacrifice, number one, it is uncommon. In other words, it's not what you do every day. It may be something that you've never done before. I love the people that don't need to take notes. These are brilliant people. Y'all got a pen or smart gadget? Write it down. You will not know this when you leave the room. So it's uncommon. The second thing about sacrifice is that it's costly. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some sleep. It's going to cost you some sweat. There are some TV shows you're not going to see. There are some people that you may not visit with. There are some things that you wanted that you may not possess because you sacrificed. It's costly. And it costs you, in most cases, things that you really, really want. That's how you know it's sacrifice. Because it costs you something that you could really, really enjoy. It costs you something that most people looking on would think that you were a fool to part with it. And that defines a sacrifice. Number three, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. If you ever made a sacrifice, you know that was painful. You may have blessed somebody. You may have helped somebody. It's funny, too. Sometimes you're sacrificing, and the people that you sacrifice for think you just had it like that. They don't even know you sacrificed. You gave them $100 that you needed to really get your own kids some shoes. But you saw in their life a need that you deemed to be more critical than the need that you had. You figured, well, those shoes can last for at least another 90 days. I can find that. So it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's even awkward to sacrifice. And it's really tough. It's really tough when you make the sacrifice and the person or persons that you made the sacrifice for have no appreciation for the sacrifice that was made. I'm preaching right now. I told you it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. But see, when it comes from the right place, it really doesn't matter the reaction. And we get this. I'm just telling you, this is a kingdom principle. See, God made a decision, and Jesus came, and he didn't come and make the decision and the choice to sacrifice based on what your response might be. Jesus made the sacrifice. Whether you accepted it or not, he made the sacrifice. And he didn't do it half-heartedly. Full hit. He went at it. I just think for us to really experience and enjoy the fullness of this walk, it's just the attitude that we have to adopt. I want to be one that sacrifices, not one that just stays in the comfort zone. We got to come out of the comfort zone. The comfort zone, that's an easy place. You know, I look at my own giving record. I say, you know, I didn't really do enough on the offering side. I'm disciplined on the tithing side. I'm disciplined there. I'm even disciplined in blessing other people. But I could do better. But I know to do better is going to mean some sacrifices. Fewer shoes. Say, not the shoes. Okay. True sacrifice is not by compulsion, but it's from a deeper place. In other words, a real sacrifice, nobody had to push you to do it. There was no pressure. In fact, there were no other voices other than the Lord's and your own responding to it. I've never wanted to lead a church that I had to manipulate to participate on any level. I want people to serve because they love serving. I want people to sacrifice because they love to sacrifice. I want people to give because they love giving. Wouldn't you agree that's a healthier environment? Hello? Much healthier environment. You know, we give out when we prepare our financial statements here and send them out to the congregation, this is to say, hey, look, we're just doing this in a very clean, smooth, easy way. You give, we manage it, we try to do the right thing, and we keep it going. We don't have time to sit here for an hour every week talking to each other about something that we already know is necessary. And then I'm blessed when I see people who sacrifice. You know, I come in some Saturdays, and I see people in here working, and I say, man, this is Saturday. This is Saturday. And when you work 5-6 days a week, and then you're going to come back to church on Sunday, and some of you driven, I don't know how long to come and even clean up. That's a sacrifice. And I appreciate that. And I'm looking, and I'm hoping that, okay, this is just a response to the voice of the Lord and a response of gratitude expressed that says, man, I'm glad God gave me the strength to get up out of the bed to be able to come down and clean the church. It's a sacrifice. It cost me time with my children. It cost me time with my husband. It cost me time with my wife. Whatever it cost me. I mean, I could have slept late that morning. But that's what makes the kingdom of God the kingdom of God. And so there's compassion is one of the motivators for sacrifice. You just saw a need and decided, I want to be able to touch it. A desire to be a part of a greater cause, to touch something that's bigger than you, to impact something that's greater than you. Sacrifice, sacrifice. And sacrifice isn't deterred by fear. It's not always an easy thing to do, but it's not deterred by fear. We still walk through and we still sacrifice. And then finally, sacrifice sometimes is just a matter of a spirit of obedience. I just want to respond to what God is saying. We need time in God's presence. We need time in prayer. We need time in the Word. And I know sometimes, you know, it's tough. But make the sacrifice. Make the sacrifice in the coming year to spend time in the presence of God. If you got to lose 10, 15 minutes of sleep, set that alarm clock earlier. Make the sacrifice. Express to God through this behavior what he really means to you and what his purposes mean to you. Make sure you're spending time in the Word of God. Make the sacrifice. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Give of your treasure. And then look around you in this world. How many know that there are people sometimes right next door to us that are in pain? We're so preoccupied, so caught up, and so busy trying to maintain our own that we don't have the time or the energy to think about another. But this year, this coming year, I want you to consider sacrificing that someone else may be blessed. Someone else may be upheld. You know, you could take a person that you know struggling financially. You can't fix the whole deal, right? But you can take and say, listen, let me just pay the light bill this year. Let me handle your gas for a few months. Let me, you know, make the sacrifice. Make the sacrifice. Most of us have more than enough anyway. We really do. More than enough. We can be a blessing to someone else. Amen? God bless you all. I want y'all to enjoy this transition from 2015 to 2016. I'll see you next year. And we're going to get it on. January 1, Proverbs. January 4th, Neology. Give God some praise this morning.